Good morning. My name is Matt Huggins with the Oakland Church of Christ, and it's a pleasure to be with you this morning to share a brief message from God's Word this morning. In Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, and verse 20, Moses says to the people of Israel, "Justice and only justice you shall pursue, that you may live and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This week, I want to talk about justice, specifically God's justice and what it means to us as His people. As God's chosen people, the children of Israel, prepared to enter into the land of promise, their 120-year-old leader Moses delivered these parting words, instructing them in the laws of God for their new nation. This law would govern both their physical and spiritual lives. Through this law, he demanded that his people pursue justice and only justice as a prerequisite for them to use and possess the land he was giving them. You know, justice is a difficult word to define, specifically in our society today. Some understand it to mean fairness, righteousness, a balance between selfishness and selflessness. Today, I want to ask the question, how is justice defined in the Bible, and why is the fact that God demands justice so important to us as His servants? Well, first let's define justice in Scripture. The first thing we note is that justice is impartial. One characteristic of God's justice is that there is no bias with God. God shows no favoritism, no preferential treatment, no detrimental treatment. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 and 35, the Bible says, "Opening his mouth, Peter said, 'I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him.'" Peter understood that God shows no partiality between men. Everyone is the same in God's eyes. And anyone who does right is welcome to approach God. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, Romans chapter 2, verse 11, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For there is no partiality with God." In context, Paul is saying God shows no partiality between Jews and Greeks, or any other physical distinction, wealth, social status, ability. The point is that God's justice applies equally to all. The second thing we notice about God's justice is that it demands compliance with God's law. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, we have the story of the Ark of God being brought to Jerusalem on a cart. And rather than the Levites carrying the poles of the ark, as God had instructed, Uzzah reached out and touched the ark and was killed. David was angered by this, but God's will had been violated and justice must be done. And so we see that justice demands compliance with God's law because God's law is ultimately what is right. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, we have the story of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, who violated God's law by offering strange fire, and once again, God's justice was done. And the Bible says, "And Aaron, therefore, kept silent." Aaron understood that a violation of God's law demanded justice be done. We also see that justice is embodied in the will of God. John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus says, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus says his judgment was just because it is predicated on the will of God. God wills what is right and true and just. And so when we bring ourselves in agreement with the will of God, then we are found just before God. Thank you for joining us this morning. We'll be continuing our discussion of God's justice the remainder of the week. Tomorrow we'll be discussing and asking the question, why does God impose justice? Thank you once again, and we hope you have a blessed day.